light o'er all the earth. Ye who sang creation's story, now proclaim Messiah's birth. Come and worship, come and worship, worship Christ the newborn King. Shepherds in the fields abiding, watching o'er your flocks by night. God with man is now residing, yonder shines the infant light. Come and worship, come and worship, worship Christ the newborn King. Wise men, leave your contemplation, brighter vision beam afar. See the great desire of nations, he has seen his natal scar. Come and worship, come and worship, worship Christ the newborn King. Saints before the altar bending, watching long in hope and fear. Suddenly the Lord descending in his temple shall appear. Come and worship, come and worship, worship Christ the newborn King. And worship, come and worship, worship Christ the newborn King. Came upon the midnight clear, that glorious song of old. Their hearts of gold. Peace on the earth, goodwill to men, from heaven's all gracious King. The world in silent stillness lay to hear the angels sing. And ye beneath life's crushing load, whose forms are bending low, we toil along the climbing way with painful steps and slow. Look now for glad and golden hours are quickly on the wing. Oh, rest beside the weary load, hear the angels sing. For lo, the days are hastening on, by prophet seen of old, when with the ever circling years shall come the time foretold, when the new heaven and earth shall own the Prince of Peace, their King. And the whole world send back the song which now the angels sing.
You may be seated. Okay, is that me?
No.
Is it my turn?
No.
Oh, that's right. Phew, scared me.
Of God's promises and
Today we celebrate the Shepherd's Candle. This candle reminds us of the good news of great joy intended for all mankind. Those shepherds introduced the great shepherd who himself was lying in a manger. That means that Jesus is our joy.
March 3rd. In Luke 2:15 through 20, we read, when the angels had left them and God ascended into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning that what had been told them about this child, and all who had heard were amazed at what shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying the praising of God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. When the shepherds saw there was their own eyes the promised Messiah, they rejoiced in seeing God's promise of the Savior fulfilled. Jesus is our joy. Amen.
Okay. you sit over there. I sit up here.
Okay, now for my turn. As I mentioned earlier, I see a lot of new faces here today. So in your bulletin, if you got one, there's a little form here that you can fill out. We'd love to have you fill this out. We'd love to invite you to become attendees to our church and part of the Grace Family. So please fill that out. And if you have prayer requests, please put those on here as well. And the team will pray for you, the prayer team. Okay? Okay? All right. Okay, yeah, the church is tilting over. It's all on the other side. Okay, now, excuse me. If you're new here, we have a memory verse of the month.
Oh, so, yes.
So the first time we read the whole thing, I think this is the second week, so there are going to be some missing words. Well, I'm not prepared. I will admit right now. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. Psalm 107:8. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his
unfailing love
and his wonderful deeds for mankind. Psalm 107:8. I'll get better. We'll get better. So we're wanting to raise some food things, as you can see in the bulletin, for those who have need. And do you want to address
this
more?
We're a little bit late starting this year on Christmas cheer, but as been our habit over the years, we collect foods. So we're looking for protein-based foods, protein in a can like tuna or peanut butter or any kind of dinners that we can put together, and we're going to take it all out to the fairgrounds for family cheer, now Christmas cheer, that delivers it Christmas Eve. So we should have started a few weeks earlier, but hey, church, let's see if we can't collect some good food for the hungry this season.
So would it be okay if they bring it in anytime during the week?
Anytime during the week, yeah.
Leave it on the front porch if you're not here? Yeah?
You could do that.
Yeah, or bring it next Sunday. Next Sunday is the last one.
We got this week and next week.
A little bit of next week, yeah. So please remember that. Take your bulletin home with you. Stick it up on the refrigerator so you see that reminder. We want to thank Lance for donating some tractor work yesterday. What did he do?
He didn't quite get it done, but he's going to.
Thanks in advance.
Thanks in advance. I anticipated that when I was typing. So.
Oh, okay. All right, so now there's a little bit of other news, too. the Valley Life Church is putting on a big Christmas extravaganza, and you probably want to tell them about that, too.
Well, that's this week, so Thursday, right. Friday, and Saturday, we're going to be performing. It's a multi-church kind of event. It's the whole Christmas story. So Becky got to see a little bit of our dress rehearsal last Tuesday night. She says it's okay, but we're going to tune it up a little bit more Tuesday and Wednesday. By the time you get there Thursday, it ought to be just really good. 7 o'clock Thursday night, 7 o'clock Friday night, 2 o'clock Saturday afternoon. And yours truly actually has a line. Come see me mess my line up, okay?
Yeah,
not a whole lot.
I went in on Tuesday night and saw part of it as well. And I saw the Mary and Joseph part. That young boy has got a terrific voice.
Yeah.
Terrific voice. So you have to go see that. And what else? Men's breakfast is this coming Saturday at 8 a.m. And we're having we're having our New Year's Eve party for senior citizens on on New Year's Eve. It runs from 6 till 9.
We have it the same time as the folks in New York.
Yeah, I know. So you're all invited to come to that, okay? And we'll tell you more about that next week. All right, now if you'll stand with me, we're going to do another song.
Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the sky.
Seated.
Oh, little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie above thy deep and dreamless sleep. The silent stars go by, yet in thy dark street shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. For Christ is born of Mary and Gabriel. watch of wandering love. Oh, morning stars together proclaim the holy birth. When sing to God the King and peace to men on earth. Holy Child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angel, the great glad tidings tell. Oh, come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel.
Good. Okay, come on. It's Christmas season. Too much sugar has gone to your brain or something. Forgot that.
It's not mine. You got to have one.
Okay. Hello, church family. I'm so glad you're here today. Thanks for coming to worship. We're in the middle of a Christmas series called The Heart of Christmas, and we've been discovering the true meaning of this holiday season and the gifts of hope, peace, joy and love that Christ brought through his miraculous birth. Now, last week we began with a hope that is at the heart of Christmas. We see the faithfulness of God from his prophetic word about Jesus' future coming and the fulfillment of that word in Jesus' birth, which gives us confidence that we can place our hope in him. No matter what we face, God is right on time. Would you agree with that? God's right on time. He's still on the throne. He's right on time. And, church, he will meet us in our time of need. Today, we'll look at another aspect of the heart of Christmas, the wonderful offer of peace, the peace that is so elusive in our world. But first, let's begin with prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray for you today to minister to us. Thank you for so many blessings throughout this year. Thank you for your kindness to us, that all things work together for good for those who love you and are called according to your purpose. Lord, you've been doing those things in us and through us. We thank you that you do love us. You've lavished your love on us that we might be called your children. Help us today feel your great love for us. And, Lord, may we declare our love for you in our words, in our actions, in our prayers, in our relationships. Oh, God, may you reign supreme. In Jesus' precious name I pray, amen. I want to share with you a story, something that took place on Christmas Day, 1863. It was the middle of the Civil War. There was an American poet by the name of Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, and he listened to the bells from a nearby church, and while he did that, he was overwhelmed with loss. Why? Here's the setting. 2 years earlier, his wife had burned to death in a fire. Their home burned down. He'd also been badly burned trying to save his dear wife. At times, Henry's grief was so great that he feared that he'd be sent to an asylum. He was a widower, 2 years removed, had 5 children, and Charlie, his son, had been wounded in the Civil War and was temporarily paralyzed. As he listened to the church bells, Longfellow wrote a poem that reflected his grief entitled Christmas Bells. It lamented the fact that there was no peace to be had, and certainly in his experience, life was really bleak and it seemed so hopeless. But Longfellow was also a man of faith, and in his poem he included a note of triumph. It was 1872 that an English organist, John Baptiste Calkin, set the words to music to use as a processional, and now we know it as a Christmas carol called I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day. We sang it last week, but I want you to listen to his words again. Set yourself back into 1863. I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play, and wild and sweet the words repeat of peace on earth, goodwill to men. I thought how as the day had come, the belfries of all Christendom had rolled along through unbroken song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And in despair, I bowed my head. There is not peace on earth, I said. For hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail. With peace on earth, goodwill to men. The wrong shall fail, church. The right will prevail. With peace on earth, goodwill to men. Peace on earth, goodwill to men was an announcement the angels made to shepherds. And these were an unlikely group of people that should hear that amazing announcement. It was the announcement of Jesus in Bethlehem, given by a multitude of heavenly angels to a group of lowly shepherds who were out in a field watching their flocks to keep them safe at night. Quite the thing. Let's take a look at that passage again. Turn with me to Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 14. Here's the biblical account. The Word of God. Glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests. That's the great announcement of the angels. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they'd seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. I got ahead of myself, didn't I? You guys need to say something here. I'm supposed to start at verse 8. Verse 8. And there were shepherds living in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This is a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, here we go. Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. I've had too many sweets, apparently. Shepherds in the first century Israel were individuals who existed on the fringe of society. They weren't really welcomed part of the community. They were considered stinky, dirty, and untrustworthy. In fact, their testimony wasn't allowed in a court of law. they lived on their own for months and they traveled with their flocks. I think it would have been shocking for the first readers of the book of Luke that these were the people God chose to entrust with such an important message. What's the message? The Messiah, the Lord, God become flesh, has now been born. This announcement is made to common shepherds. And it brings us to our first point, that the peace of God is for all people. Would you say that with me? The peace of God is for all people. Which people?
All
people. The angels had to steady the shepherds by telling them not to be afraid, right? Can you imagine if the whole sky was completely lit up with these angels? I'd be afraid. And often when God shows up, he has to tell us, remind us, don't be afraid. They were terrified by their presence. The message they brought was good news because a baby had been born who was the long-awaited Messiah. The one was promised long ago to rescue God's people. The angels told them where to find Jesus, and before they left on their search, a heavenly host spoke over them, "Peace to those on whom God's favor rests." So, church, what we're finding out here is that Jesus was ushering in peace. It's peace. Peace is an important thing, right? Now, can you go out, Jack, and go buy some peace? I'd like to buy some peace pie, right? I'd like to have a piece of peace. Can't do that. It's a spiritual peace that's given to us through Christ. And it is a spiritual fruit. Church, how are you going to have peace? It's via his Spirit. It's a fruit of his Spirit. Sometimes we get so anxious and frantic, and we think, oh my goodness, I need some peace. Some of you are a little bit of a worry wart. And you wonder, how in the world can I calm myself? You have to go to Jesus. He's the one who brings peace. Let me tell you a story that took place at a homeless shelter one Christmas. At the end of the meal, the pastor shared a short message from Luke chapter 2. In his message, he said Jesus was born to save them. He told them that though they may feel forgotten and alone, Jesus' birth was God's way of staying close to them. He's near to the brokenhearted. He's near to those who are oppressed. He's near to those who are poor. Jesus' birth was God's way of staying close to them. At the very end, he gathered around the people, he laid hands on them and prayed God's richest blessing on them. The people that day learned that the good news of God is for all people from all walks of life, broken people. Jesus was born for them as much as he was born for any of us today. And his name is Emmanuel. Now, don't consider that just a name, a handle where we can get a hold of Jesus. Emmanuel. Yeah, that's his name. What it means, church, is God with us. We forget. We think that God is somewhere way out there. And when we're going through trials, when we're going through difficulties, that sort of thing, God's nowhere around. We forget his very name reminds us that there he is with us. Elizabeth, he is right here. Where two or three are gathered, there he is in our midst. God is with you. That's why they called him Emmanuel. It describes the reality of God with us. He's with us. Even us. In one survey, nearly one-third of those questioned said that of all the people mentioned in the Christmas story, who did they identify with the most? It was the shepherds. Why? Because they're average, ordinary people, and yet were invited to see the birth of the King of Kings. Who else was there that day? We had Joseph and Mary and the shepherds. Yeah, no. I get to play a wise man in the play this week. Yeah, special stuff. But the wise men didn't show up for quite some time afterwards. So that's something that we include that in the whole Christmas story. But Jesus was probably a little boy, 2-3 years old when the wise men showed up. That doesn't mean they weren't wise. They're still wise. What I find amazing is that when God wanted to announce the arrival of his son, he didn't do it in the presence of kings and queens. It wasn't the priests. It wasn't the religious people. He announced it to the poor, the forgotten. It's truly good news, because if God's favor was offered to shepherds, then truly God's favor and peace is available to all of us. Peace is the world's greatest need. From the time sin entered the world and affected all of creation, we've been at odds with God, church. The Bible says that we were enemies in our minds toward God. We were in rebellion against his rule and reign. Sin did not just stop there. It also caused us to be in conflict with one another and ourselves. And this is why Jesus' birth was and is such good news. It's the ultimate answer to the brokenness that exists because of sin. Brokenness, listen, between ourselves and God, brokenness between ourselves and others, and also brokenness between our own inner voice. This is the way Paul put it when he wrote to the church in Colossae. Paul is expressing the role that Jesus plays in making peace. We find that in Colossians chapter 1, verse 19 to 22. The Word of God. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Did you hear that? How did he do it? By making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once, Paul says, you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight. How? Without blemish and free from accusation. And it goes on to say, if you continue in your faith, established, so on and so forth. To understand the peace that was ushered in at Christmas time, we need to understand that although Jesus arrived in a cradle, his life would lead to a cross. He came, was born, placed in a cradle, but he died on a cross. Jesus intentionally lived a sinless life and willingly offered his life through crucifixion. Paul said it is the blood of Jesus Christ that makes peace between us and God. Christ's sacrifice on the cross pays for the sin that we have committed. It appeases God's anger towards sin, and it destroys the power of evil in our lives. You see, church, being reconciled to God is the key. It's the key to experiencing peace in every other area of our lives. And that brings us to point number two. Jesus reconciles us to God. He reconciles us through his blood on the cross. When we receive the gift of forgiveness that's offered to us by faith, we become, as the Bible says, friends of God, and he offers us his power to help us navigate the difficulties of life. Some may believe that being made right with God means that they'll never face any problems. Have you met people like that? You become a Christian, you're going to live happily ever after? If you receive Jesus, you're going to be healthy, wealthy, never have a problem. There are people that preach that. I've heard it. It doesn't mean that you're not going to have a problem, but what it means is your problems aren't going to have you. In this world, you will have tribulation. You're going to have difficulties. Jesus guaranteed it. He says, you will have it. But take heart, he says. Why? Someone's overcome the world. And in Christ, we're more than overcomers. He's overcome the world. Being reconciled to God is the key to experiencing peace in every other area of our lives. He reconciles us to God. See, when we receive the gift of forgiveness that's offered to us by faith, we become friends of God. And he offers us his power to help us navigate the difficulties of life. It's a powerful thing. Oftentimes, church, we don't ask God for help. We think, oh, I can handle this on my own. You ever been there? Oh, why do we have all these problems? I was feeling that way Thursday night because I go and pick up Dawn for our life group. And I took her home. And Dawn, what you don't know is that when I left your house, I ran over some gravel, and it gave me a flat tire. And by the time I hit Safeway, there I was with a flat tire at 9:30 at night. I thought, why is this happening to me? You see, preachers need to be preached to as well. We do. I'm too old to be changing a tire in the highway, good land. But, you know, God gave me enough energy and ability and safety and everything else to get that tire changed. We got through that. But what I want to tell you is, it didn't come to my mind the first thing to pray. I just thought, oh my goodness, here I am, dark, cold night, flat tire. We have circumstances that don't go our way. We have challenging relationships to navigate. What we have is the promise of the presence of God in our lives. And listen, if he's with us, then there's nothing that we should fear. He's with us. We can go to him for guidance. We can go to him for strength. We can lean on him when we get weary. We can cry on his shoulder when we're trying to. You know how it's hard to get those lug nuts off. Those things, I'm not as young as I used to be. That's all I could do to just undo those lug nuts. And he promises to bind up our wounds when we're hurt. God desires for us to make peace with ourselves. Listen, every past mistake, how many times have you beat yourself up over a past mistake? A personal struggle, worry for the future. He gives us peace and all that. All of that is met with the love and grace of God. We also make peace with others because of the forgiveness of God given to us. When we recognize the grace given to us, our hearts become transformed so that we can offer grace to others. Jesus reconciles us to God and others so that we can reconcile ourselves to others. He forgave us. What we've freely been given, we're to freely give. So we forgive others. And yes, that includes the people who cut in front of you at Safeway or on the highway. The people who are just too slow. All that, or Jack, the people are standing in front of you at Walmart, okay? just the way it goes. God desires for us to make peace with ourselves. And this is good news. Take a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Read it in a new light today. 2 Corinthians 5, verses 17 to 19. Just as God's peace is for anyone, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, what's come? The new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. That's what we do. We tend to count people's sins against them. Christ doesn't do that. And he's committed to us the message of reconciliation. We're therefore Christ's ambassadors. Listen, church. We've been given his peace. We've been given his forgiveness. He's about reconciliation. We ought to be the best people on the planet to help people resolve issues, don't you think? We've been given the ministry of reconciliation. We're not here to divide up and take sides and struggle against one another. We're here to reconcile one another because the glory of Christ is our oneness. Right? By this, the whole world will know that you're my disciples, that you're all split up in different groups. No, that you love one another. And Jesus prays in John 17, he says, Father, make them one, just as you are in me and I am you. Make them one in us, that the world may know that you sent me. As we get closer and closer to Christmas Day, which is less than 2 weeks away, we move through a season known as Advent. Now, Advent comes from the Latin word meaning arrival. Jesus' first coming was the arrival of God's light into the world. Like sitting around a lit Christmas tree at night, the glow of God's presence washes over us. It calms our fears and steadies our hearts. At Christmas time, we also make note of another Advent that's to come. One day, church, in the future, Jesus will return and make all things right once and for all. His second advent is directly ahead of us. His peace covers our past. He meets us in our presence because he's with us right now and is a promise for the future. He's coming. He's coming. And that brings us to our last point today. Peace is our purpose. We have a purpose. What is it? It's peace. What the world needs more of is people who have the peace of God in their hearts and who are willing to share that peace with others. Now, you may think it's optional, but it's not optional. It's expected. God wants you to be a peacemaker. As he has brought peace and has extended peace to you, he wants you now to be a peacemaker with others. Joining God and making the world a better place is the purpose of our lives. In fact, Jesus speaks to this in the Beatitudes. You all know this one, Matthew chapter 5, verse 9. It says, there's a whole list of blessings, right? Verse 9 says, blessed are the peacemakers. Why did Jesus say the peacemakers would be blessed? For they will be called the children of God. Is that what the world calls Christians today? Are we known as peacemakers? Who said no? Why?
Well, the world has decided we're the ones that created because we're trying to minister.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, we're the problem because we don't accept their presuppositions of what's right and wrong in the world and that kind of thing. But we ought to be people who work the best we can in making peace even with broken people. We'll be called the children of God when we are peacemakers, when we're willing to seek reconciliation with others, when we don't hold a grudge, When we fight for harmony rather than sowing dissension, we're identified with the heart of God who longs to reconcile a lost and broken world with himself. We look like the Father and we're recognized as his children when we're peacemakers. So we find peace at the heart of Christmas because God desires us to be in right relationship with him, right relationship with ourselves, and right relationship with others. It's the very reason for which Jesus came to earth. That's why he's called the Prince of Peace. And we're called to be peacemakers through him. Now, there are many people today, church, who do not value peace in their relationship. And so they live in a constant state of conflict. You've met some folks like that. It seems like they're always looking for a fight because they aren't in one at the moment. And it reminds me of what Linus said to Charlie Brown in A Charlie Brown Christmas. Charlie Brown was having trouble getting the Christmas spirit, and Linus observed, he says, "Charlie Brown, you're the only person I know who can take a wonderful season like Christmas and turn it into a problem." They do. Unfortunately, this is the outcome for people who believe Christmas is about other things besides hope, peace, joy, and love. This Christmas, may we be people who embrace the gift offered to us through Jesus, who died so that we might live in right relationship with God, with ourselves, and with others. Finding the peace of Christ is as easy as A, B, C. A, B, C. What does it mean? A means admit. We have to admit that God is right, that he's right about us. He's right about our condition. He's right when he says we're broken, we're estranged, when we're sinful enemies in our minds toward him, that we're sinners rebelling against his rule in our lives. We have to admit that and see that there's a need for a Savior. B means believe. Believe what? It means that we're to believe that God sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for us, that he died on a cross. We need to believe the good news, the gospel, and not just believe about it. Believe in the sense of a marriage. Now, what do you mean, preacher? That sounds pretty weird. I can know of somebody, but that doesn't mean that I'm married to that person. I'm married to someone when I, and she says, I do. We make a commitment to one another. I can know about someone, but that doesn't mean I'm related to them until we enter into a relationship. We believe or trust. And C simply means commit. I want to commit myself to following Jesus. He invites us to follow him. Allow him to direct us. He wants to write his law on our hearts and move us to follow his ways. If that's the desire of your heart today, you admit, you believe, and you commit, you can receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You can receive the gift of grace, the gift of forgiveness, the gift of eternal life. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So let me wrap this up. Number one, do you realize that God's peace is not just for you, but that it's for all people? If this is so, then I want you to be thinking, church, who can you share that peace with this week? We need to, no week would be a better week than this week. Moving into Christmas, people need to hear the story of Christmas and God's peace for them. Number two, what one practical way can you be a peacemaker this week? You got a neighbor, you got an acquaintance, a coworker, somebody that needs some help, reconciliation, forgiveness, a prayer, practical way, help him. Number three, in what way is the presence of God and the presence of peace related? The presence of God and the presence of peace. They go together, right? They go together. If you're missing his peace, you're missing his presence, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Would you pray with me? Father, truly how great is your love that we're called your children. We have right relationship with you through Jesus. All the resources of the Christian life is Jesus. We desire the fruit of his Spirit to be born, manifest in our lives anew today and throughout this coming week. Particularly, Lord, we're looking at the fruit of peace in our lives. Let your peace flow like a river. Set our hearts at ease. Grant us your shalom now in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay.
Will you stand with us as we sing Joy to the World?
Of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. God bless.